Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our time of worship. Worship, if you're here in the building, morning to you all on Zoom and online. And we pray also that you will receive a blessing if you happen to be listening to this recording at a later date. Let us come before our Lord Jesus in a moment of prayer and dedicate this time to him. For it is our Lord Jesus we have come to worship this morning, isn't it? Lord Jesus, we've gathered in your name. We come from our busy, messy, broken lives seeking you. Lord, we need your strength, for we seek to do your good will. But our desire to do good is weak, and it often fails us. Lord, put your strength in us to be disciplined, courageous, and resilient against our fears and temptations. For they lead us away from your good and pleasing will and towards our selfish pleasures. Lord Jesus, we ask that you forgive us for the things that we have done wrong. Help us to encounter you this morning. Bless this time of worship and grant us willing ears to hear, open hearts to receive, and a passion to worship you in the Spirit, Lord. And this we ask in the name of our Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen. So I wanted to share a verse from the prophet Isaiah, the book of Isaiah. I don't often read from the book of Isaiah, funnily enough, not probably as often as we ought to. It's a wonderful book in the Old Testament, so much stuff in it. So this is Isaiah 11. Out of the stump of David's family will grow a shoot, yes, a new branch bearing fruit from the old root. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah was a prophet who lived some roughly 700 years before Jesus was even born. And God gives the prophet Isaiah this message. We gave him lots of messages, but he gave Isaiah messages to give to the people. And in this message, God has given his people a message of hope. Why hope? Not like a message of hope like, cheer up, everything's going to be all right. It's not that kind of message of hope. It's so much more than that. It's a promise. And what is he promising? What is God promising to do? He's promising to send someone new. Someone that the Holy Spirit will rest upon. People knew who David was. They were familiar with King David. But this was going to be someone new, someone in the future. God tells the people that someone born from the family of the great King David will also be blessed with the Lord's Spirit. Who was David? Do you remember who David was? David starts out life, doesn't he? He's got lots of older brothers. He's the youngest of lots of brothers. But he's the smallest as well. He was only a little fella. And all he did was look after sheep. His brothers, some of his brothers, well, they fought in the king's army. But David was a man of God. And one day, when the army of Israel was facing the Philistine army, who walks out in front of them from the Philistine army? Anybody remember? A big fella, wasn't he? That's as big as I can be, sorry. It's a bit pathetic, really, isn't it? But Goliath, a giant, 9 feet of him, covered in armor with a sword that was huge. And the king of the Philistines at the time says, I tell you what, you bring out your best warrior. And if you can defeat my Goliath, we'll surrender to you. But if you can't, then you surrender to us. Guess how many volunteers there were? Yeah, quite. None. And then this little voice pipes up. And it's David, the shepherd boy. Because God had given him the courage and the strength and the wisdom to stand up and say, I'll fight him. Because I know that God wants to defeat him. And I know that God will help me. What does he do? Takes five shiny wee pebbles from the stream and a sling. And he puts a pebble in his sling. And he runs at Goliath. And of course, he flings the stone with great accuracy, striking Goliath, who is knocked to the ground and is killed. So from that same famine, and because of David's faith, because of his trust in God, David ends up becoming king of all of Israel. Because that's what God had planned for him to be. So from that great family of King David, who brought great hope to his people, another man's going to be born. And the Spirit of God will rest on him, and he also will bring great hope to all people. Who was he? His name was Jesus. His name was Jesus. And the Spirit of the Lord rested on Jesus as well. And then what happens? Jesus then tells his disciples, guess what? I'm going to send a new advocate into the world, my Spirit, and he's going to rest on you. It's going to rest on you. Doesn't stop there. The Bible says that we must repent of our sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. See, the story didn't just finish with Jesus. The story continues because Jesus wants his Spirit rest on you. All those that will say, I'm sorry, Lord. I know I've done bad things. I want you to pay the price for me. I love you, Lord. Forgive me. See, when life seems really, really hard and you're facing the impossible, the God who loves you, God of the Old Testament, the New Testament, and today, God of the impossible can do the possible. He is a miracle worker. He makes a way when everything seems hopeless. Ever feel hopeless? Yeah, every time I sat down and there was an exam paper in front of me, I felt hopeless. Let me tell you, I am not academic. I just thought, oh my goodness, I used to feel so overwhelmed. But the God of miracles, he brings hope. That's the God we worship this morning. The God who does miracles. And so we're going to worship through song. And the music group is going to come up and we're going to sing some songs together, praising God's name. We rejoice in his name. The God who does miracles. The God who wants to heal every heart. The God who wants to touch every heart. He is God. He is the God who turns lives around. So let's spend some time praising God through song together. And so we can stand and sing together.
You are here, moving in our midst. miracle worker. You are the one who transforms lives. You are the one who saves lives. You are the one that we can always trust. You never leave us alone, and you never stop working in our lives, Lord. Thank you that you are that God. And so we will raise a hallelujah. Because even when we're faced with the enemies, even when we're faced with our own unbelief, even when we struggle in our lives, even when we find addictions and other things are crushing us and pulling us down, still we will raise a hallelujah. Because you are the God who transforms life. Amen.
Sing a little louder.
we just want to thank you for your endless amounts of provision, Lord. You're so good to us. You keep pouring out all that we need. You know what we need even before we ask it, Lord. Thank you for the finance and the money that comes into this church, Lord, that allows your mission to continue here in Desborough. And thank you, Lord, for the provision of our young people, the provision for all those that serve in this church, Father. We give thanks for them. And as our young people now go out to their Sunday social time, we just want to lift up them to you, Lord. Bless them in their time together. May your presence be known to them. May they grow to know a little bit more about you, Lord. Bless those leaders that are taking them out. May they be equipped with knowledge and understanding and wisdom to pass on your love and understanding to them, Father God. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated, everyone.
We are surrounded by needs, problems, and worries. The only solution is to bring them to God, as has been said. You say, dear God, you chat to him about the problems, and you finish with an amen. Almighty God, you reassure us that you so love the whole world that you gave your one and only Son for us. Therefore we come to you confidently, knowing that you are even more concerned about the situation in the war-torn parts of the world than we are. So we cry out to you for peace in our troubled and warring world. Give peace in our time, O Lord, because there is no one else but you who rules the world. You reassure us that with you nothing is impossible. So we pray for peace in Gaza, in Ukraine, and in the various civil wars in Yemen, Myanmar, Ethiopia, Sudan, and elsewhere. You, O Lord, know who takes the ultimate decisions and gives the advice that will be followed. So we ask that you will influence and overrule the leaders of the nations so that they will make the decisions that will result in ceasefires and then ongoing peace. We particularly pray that there might be an imminent ceasefire in Gaza and in the Ukraine. Grant that the meetings and conferences may rapidly achieve that. Grant that a lasting peace that is fair and just may then be built on this. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we cry to you that relief supplies will reach the people of Gaza, food, safe drinking water, medications, medical treatment, safe shelter. In a situation where most of the hospitals are unable to function, we pray that medical help will somehow be delivered, because you have said nothing is impossible with you. Particularly grant that the children may be fed and that their injuries and illnesses will receive attention. And for that vast multitude in both Gaza and Ukraine who have lost loved ones, children who have lost parents and grandparents, parents who have lost children, all those who have lost friends and loved ones. Lord, will you provide comfort, consolation, peace of mind, and provision of their needs? And we pray for your followers, our fellow Christians in Gaza and Ukraine. Comfort them if they are grieving, Give them relief from pain and discomfort, and help and enable them to show your love to those around them. For relief workers, we pray that you will resource them and supply what they need. Help them to know how to distribute scarce resources when there is an overwhelming demand. Help them to get sufficient sleep and to get to sleep when every day they face situations of unimaginable horror and need. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. This week in our prayers, we are praying for our persecuted sisters and brothers in Iraq, the 17th most dangerous country for Christians in the world. Dear God, we pray for our brothers and sisters in Iraq. They risk so much and experience so much discrimination and pressure, all because they follow you. We ask that your healing spirit remain in the midst of your people, particularly as they continue to heal from the trauma inflicted by so-called Islamic State. Please, God, bring refreshment and hope to our family in Iraq and rebuild Christian churches, lives, and communities. Amen. Lord, we pray for all those who serve you in Open Doors and for their various agencies, groups, and pastors on the ground in countries where there is persecution of our brothers and sisters. We pray that you will bless, prosper, and protect those who work for you and your church in such dangerous situations. Give them wisdom and your discernment to know when they must remain unnoticed. Give them courage when they must move into apparently dangerous situations. Help them to encourage those Christians who live with persecution as daily experience. Help them to offer your peace and to show your love to those who are traumatized by the persecution they have experienced. Give courage, resources, your protection, and the guidance and fullness of your spirit to all those who are serving you in these dangerous situations. And we pray for those who serve you in the various headquarters offices of Open Doors. Give them energy, wisdom, insight, attention to detail as they seek to support your workers and our persecuted brothers and sisters. And we ask you to provide all the resources that are needed for your persecuted church. In the name of Jesus, we ask this. Amen. Lord, we have prayed week by week for our brothers and sisters in countries where they endure hardship, danger, deprivation, and threat, simply because they are your people. Over the weeks, we have prayed for more than 100 million fellow Christians in 17 countries. Grant them your protection. Grant them courage. Provide their needs when their persecutors seek to harm them and destroy everything they need. And Lord, keep women and girls safe, because the worst dangers are usually faced by them. We ask this in the name of him who commanded us to go and make disciples of all nations, even our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, we pray for your work in Torch Trust. Give fullness of your Holy Spirit to all those who serve you in this work. Give your guidance and provision to those who lead the work and keep them depending on you. Provide the resources and finance that the work needs. Bless all those who benefit from that work. Grant your provision to all those who suffer from sight loss or sight degradation. Grant that more and more churches and Christian work may be available, may be aware of this issue and may be able, guided and resourced by you to make provision for those with sight problems. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, there are many in this church and fellowship who are not well, who are in pain. We just pray for them, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you will grant such measure of healing as is your will. We pray, Lord, you will grant relief from pain and discomfort, or the strength and ability to cope. We pray that they may know your comfort. And for those, Lord, who are part of our number but are not able to be with us today, we pray the same, your healing touch. And for those who care for them, their loved ones, we pray, Lord, you will give peace and comfort and guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Lord, you know the need in this church for a treasurer and for more deacons. You taught us to ask and that it will be given to us. You taught us to keep on asking, and that if we ask anything in your name, you would give us what we ask for. So we ask in your name that the work and witness of this fellowship, your church, may be made successfully continue. And we know you have already arranged a solution to our problem, the provision of someone or several people to meet this need. We thank and praise you that we will shortly see your provision of a treasurer. We give you the glory for this. Strengthen our faith. Grant, O Lord, that those whom you are calling to these tasks may hear your call and say, Lord, here am I, send me. And then, Lord, equip them with the capabilities, time, and energy that they will need for that work, and fill them with your Holy Spirit. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, John. So we have two readings this morning from John's Gospel. The first from John 14, verses 15 to 21. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and it doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because they love me, my Father will love them, and I will love them, and reveal myself to each of them. And a second passage from John's Gospel, John 20, verses 19 and 23. That Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds in his hands and his side, and they were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. Again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so now I'm sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven. And may the Lord bless and his understanding of his read word this morning to us. Before we look at our topic this morning on the road to spiritual power, Brian is going to play us another hymn. We're going to play Holy Spirit, Living Breath of God. Let's stand together and sing this.
Thank you.
seated, everybody. So this morning we're looking at On the Road to Spiritual Power, part of our On the Road series. And what I want to do is I want to look at all three passages that we have read today, Isaiah and the two passages from John's Gospel. So we begin with that passage in Isaiah in which we see, or we're introduced to, seven characteristics or ministries, as it's sometimes referred to, of the Holy Spirit. These descriptions of the nature, if you like, of the Holy Spirit. Not seven individual spirits, but one spirit with seven ministries. In John 14, though, Jesus then promises the disciples that the Holy Spirit will descend on Jesus himself. Sorry. Helps if I read the right words, doesn't it? Beg your pardon. In John 14, Jesus promises the disciples that the same Holy Spirit that descended on Jesus himself at his baptism, the Bible describes Jesus' baptism, doesn't it? You remember it? As he came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord, manifest in the image of a dove, came down and rested upon him. And a voice from the heavens said, "This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased." Jesus then goes on to promise the same Spirit will make a home within the disciples themselves. The Spirit that had been with them and had empowered them to perform many miracles. Do you remember Jesus sending out the disciples, and the disciples were able to heal and to cast out demons? That same Spirit that had been with them would now make a home within them. Jesus describes the Spirit of truth that the world will not recognize, because the world is not interested in truth. The world is intoxicated with its own lies, and you only need to watch any newsreel you see any night of the week to see everybody arguing and accusing each other of lying, whether that's government ministers. It doesn't matter who it is, to be honest, does it? The truth, it just seems to be a bewildering, hidden reality somewhere. The world's intoxicated with its own lies. It's not looking for the Spirit, therefore cannot recognize the Spirit. So what we see then is we have an anointing in the Old Testament of the kings and the prophets. God's Spirit empowers and rests on them. We have a prophecy of the Messiah to come, who also the Spirit will rest on him. Now Jesus promises a new anointing for all who will believe in him as Lord and Savior. This process it begins in the Old Testament. It's foretold, it's prophesied in the Old Testament. Jesus comes, Jesus himself receives the presence of the Holy Spirit within him, and then Jesus then tells the disciples, it doesn't finish there. It doesn't finish with me, it's going to carry on with you. You are my disciples. And the Spirit of the Lord will rest on God's disciples. And so too, that work carries on today. The book of Acts, what does Peter do? Do you remember Peter's great sermon? Filled with the Holy Spirit, he delivers that first sermon to thousands of people. The Bible tells us that those people, on hearing the truth, are cut to the heart. Probably some of those people there were the same people that said, "Crucify him, crucify him." They're now cut to the heart. "What should we do?" they asked Peter. Peter says this: "Each of you must repent of your sins, turn to God, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit is a gift. What a gift that is. That kind of power. That kind of authority. And that's what we're going to be looking at this morning. There can be no doubt then that the Bible is showing us that the presence of the Holy Spirit's power is crucial in the life of the believer. If the prophets and the kings in the Old Testament needed the Holy Spirit, if Jesus himself needed the Holy Spirit, by God, we need him even more, don't we? We need the transforming supernatural power of the Spirit to be at work in our lives so that we can resist sin, temptation, so that we can become children of God, fit for the purpose of God, ready for the eternal kingdom of God. So let's look quickly at these seven transforming supernatural ministries of the Holy Spirit. Let me just say, first of all, why seven? It's not an exhaustive list, this. But often the Bible uses the number seven as a very symbolic thing about perfection. Seven lampstands and so on. Some of you may be familiar with the Bible's repeated use of seven as being a symbol of perfection. So let's start. Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. This phrase indicates the divine empowerment and anointment of the Messiah. Jesus goes on to tell us that we too will have the same anointing. We can be in complete confidence and without doubt about the origin of the Holy Spirit, who is God. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit, it's an individual one. It's an individual ministry for each one of us. 1 Corinthians 2 says this, "For only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others, for who can know the Lord's thoughts?" Good question, that. Who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things. Why do we understand these things? "For we have the mind of Christ," Paul says. I get really excited when I read it. It's one of my favorite little passages in the Bible. "For we have the mind of Christ." Have you any idea what kind of blessing that is? It's absolutely monumental, isn't it? That the Holy Spirit brings us the mind of Christ. We need to be guided through life by the mind of Christ. Therefore, we must have the Spirit of the Lord rest upon us. Why do we need the Spirit of the Lord like this? Because we need the Spirit of wisdom. 1 Corinthians 1:24. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. So wisdom in this biblical sense is the ability to make godly decisions. This aspect of the Spirit enables understanding and discernment of God's will. We need to know what God wants for us. We know that God has a plan for each one of us. We need to understand what that is. We need to discern that will. One of the first ministries of the Holy Spirit is to reveal to you, to each one of us. This is why it's a personal ministry. He wants to minister to each one of us. He wants to reveal areas of our lives which need to be aligned with God's word and God's will. Lovely verse in Psalm 119 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's wisdom will guide us in the ways we need to go. The Bible uses lots of imagery, doesn't it, about light shining and extinguishing darkness. The Holy Spirit focuses light on the things in our character, the things in our lives. And some of these things are things that you might think you've dealt with, things that you think that are in your past and they're no longer an issue for you. Experiences, things that might have shaped us, perhaps arguments with friends or family, work colleagues, incidences and moments when we've not behaved the way in which we're particularly proud of. We've all got some of those, haven't we? It may be things that other people have done to us. People can hurt you, can't they? I mean, really hurts you. That leaves a scar upon you. It leaves its stain upon you. And we try to deal with those things sometimes. And we put them in a box and we wrap it all up, don't we? And we bury it. Because actually, sometimes it's just too painful to deal with. But the wisdom of God wants to shine a light onto those things. Because the wisdom of God knows that these things are toxic to us. They poison us. And how often I mean, I'm guilty of this. I'm definitely guilty. Have I suddenly lost my temper in a situation and then been bewildered as to why I'm losing my temper? The Spirit doesn't want to stop me losing my temper. The Spirit wants me to understand why I lose my temper so that we can then deal with it. We can then deal with those things that are hurting us. It's not God's will for us to be held captive by these things in our life. They're really toxic. So the Spirit shines a light. He will bring his wisdom to help heal those and help us to heal and deal with those things in our lives and set us free. And what do we need? Well, we can always say we need a little bit more understanding, can't we? So we have the Spirit of understanding. In a spiritual context, this refers to the ability to comprehend and grasp the deeper meaning of things. Why are things happening to me? Why do I behave like this? Why can't I resist temptation? This is particular in the realm of faith. God wants to bring us revelation. It's a gift from the Holy Spirit that allows for a deeper insight and penetration into divine truths. This understanding goes beyond mere simple intellectual knowledge. It's understanding. And I like to think that's knowledge with the why. Why is this? Why is this a truth? It involves, the understanding goes beyond that intellectual knowledge. It involves a loving desire to comprehend and apply God's teachings to our own lives. Spirit of understanding. In the second of John's Gospels reading today, Jesus is described as breathing on the disciples and giving them a Holy Spirit. But in Luke's Gospels account, it says this, Luke 24, then he opened their minds to understanding the scripture. Part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, to bring understanding. They needed to understand the scriptures. Not just to be able to remember them and recite them like parrots, but to understand them. The only way we can apply the scriptures to our lives is if we read the scriptures with the Holy Spirit. Because only the Spirit can interpret the scriptures in a way that we each need to hear in that moment, in that time. Those of you that have been Christians for some time, I know you will have this experience. How many times have you read a passage in the Bible? More than once, several times. And on the 15th time that you've read that picture, you suddenly stop and go, I never saw that. I never saw. I don't know why that never saw that. Never jumped off the page at me before. I suddenly realized that's written in that passage. Well, blow me. If I've read that once, I've read it 100 times. There's the Spirit of understanding, folks. That is the Holy Spirit giving you a gift. To help bring understanding. To open your eyes. Personal ministry, what you needed to know when you needed to know it. I'm always amazed at that. When that happens to you, sit there in awe for a moment and go, oh, thank you, Lord. It's like Christmas, I just got a gift. And he just unwrapped it for me. And I grew a little bit because of it. Why do we need all this understanding? Well, because we need the understanding of the Spirit of counsel. Throughout Jesus' ministry, the one thing that you can see repeatedly that Jesus does absolutely exceptionally, and of course, you know, I know you're going to say, oh, Jesus did everything exceptionally, but look, you know, what do we see in Jesus' ministry does over and over again? He makes relationships with people, doesn't he? He does it on a personal level. He bridges the gap between where they are and where he is. He comes to them, he meets them in their space, and he makes relationships with people. And it's through those relationships that he is then able to reveal to them the love that God has for them. The Holy Spirit is a counselor. Counsels for us on behalf of God. Romans 8:26, and the Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, I know there are times when I feel really weak. I'm so glad that the Lord counsels me when I'm in my weakness. For example, we don't know what God wants us to pray for, but the Holy Spirit prays for us with groans that cannot be expressed in words. And the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Holy Spirit is saying. Well, that's great, isn't it? So even if I don't know what to pray, or if I don't know what to ask for, or if I'm so filled with anxiety or stress, or if I'm in a situation I simply don't know what to do with, the Spirit of God, who will counsel me, will intercede for me on my behalf with the Lord, and the Lord can then answer me. Because even though I can't put into words what I need, there is the Spirit interceding for me on my behalf. Then it goes on to say, and the Father, who knows all hearts, knows what the Spirit is saying, for the Spirit pleads for us believers in harmony with God's own will. There's a beautiful thing, isn't it, to be in harmony with God's will. The Holy Spirit will bring me understanding to help me deal with my struggles so that I can be a witness for others about what God can do, what God has done for me, and what God can do for them, to bring them truth. And the same Spirit of counsel wants to empower us in supernatural ways to make relationships with people and show them God's love for them. I've had moments, and I'm sure many of you have had moments, when you felt the Holy Spirit prompting you to step out. Oh boy, they're uncomfortable sometimes, aren't they? Yeah, you had those moments? Yeah, I can see some of you nodding. Yeah, and I've looked at the person that I felt like the Lord is directing me toward. And I've maybe looked at some of their problems, and I've looked at it, of course, from my worldly situation, and I've thought, oh Lord, surely not me. Someone must be better equipped to deal with this than me, Lord. I have no understanding of this person or their situation. But the Spirit of counsel knows what I need. We just have to be a bit more courageous sometimes in those moments, don't we? We have to have a little more trust and a little more faith that God is going to equip us with what we need. And the Spirit is there on a personal ministry to equip you in those moments. We need strength, don't we? And that leads us on to the Spirit of strength. Jesus knew we were going to need courage, supernatural courage. The same kind of courage that led David onto that battlefield to pick up 5 shiny stones and charge at Goliath. Same courage that Jesus needed to face the cross. The Spirit of strength wants to bring you freedom from your fears, freedom from the things that control us and dictate the way we live our lives, the addictions, the compulsions, the habits, and all of the things that disable God's will for you in your life. The very things that attack your faith, the flaming arrows from Satan himself that shoot towards us and bring us to our knees in shame and fear, fill us with anxiety and disbelief. I'm not good enough. We've all felt that at one moment or another. These are the things that cripple the Christian life, but the Spirit of strength will give you the might to overcome those things. The Spirit of strength has come to set you free, to bring you courage, determination, and defiance in the face of evil, in the moments of provocation, to get up when things have knocked you down and gone wrong and you've messed up. It will give you the strength to get up and have another go. The Spirit of strength wants to empower you into a victorious Christian life. A life that is in harmony with God's will. A life where God's will becomes your passion. And to do that, we need to intimately understand God. And that leads us on to the Spirit of knowledge. The Spirit of knowledge that wants to draw us into an intimate understanding of God's will and purpose, not just for us personally, but for the kingdom of God as a whole. The Bible tells us to meditate on the Word of God night and day. Who of us do these things? You know, sometimes we can all admit we're a bit lax, aren't we, in studying the Scriptures. Don't feel like it today, Lord. I've got all this going on, and I just sometimes I can't find time for it. But we're tasked, the Bible tells us, to meditate on the Word of God night and day. Fill ourselves, consume the Scriptures. We might not remember what we've read, but don't worry about remembering what you have read. Because the Spirit of knowledge can remind you, in the moments when you need it most, of just the right piece of Scripture to encourage you. That Spirit of knowledge wants to install in you a curiosity, a desire, a passion for God's Word, but also for the very nature and character of God Himself. The Bible says that God is love. To understand the nature and character of God is to understand the nature and character of God's love. To be transformed into the likeness of Christ is to learn how to love like Christ. To live life looking through the love of Christ, and that can transform any sinner's heart. It's a good prayer, you know. Lord, show me through my eyes how you love. It's a good prayer. The spirit of fear of the Lord. The spirit of fear of the Lord has nothing to do with being scared or afraid. You know, I love this time of year. Garden is bursting, isn't it? The vegetables that we've planted, well, not we. The vegetables that Maxine has planted in our garden. They are coming up, and there are all sorts of buds and shoots and things. And I could even see on our olive tree that there might actually be some olives on it this year. The flowers are blooming. The blossom is on the trees. There's an explosion of colour everywhere I look in nature. And I see that I can see the gracious hand of God in nature. It's His creation. I can look up to the heavens and see the stars and the moon and I'm just left in wonder and awe of God's creation. And I can see the hand of God in His creation. It's been created out of love. And that reminds me, not that I am really small and insignificant, but that I am small and significant because of how much God loves me. It reminds me who's in control. It reminds me of God's holiness, His perfection, His righteousness. And I stand in awe of God's majesty and His wonder through the world that He has created for us to live in. You know, I don't know about you, but sometimes I just feel that I need to stop. And I need the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I need the spirit that shows me God's majesty. Because it just kind of warms me up when I see these things. And whether you, however you experience it personally, it doesn't matter for me. It's in nature a lot of the time. But however you find it, it's great to know the enormity and the majesty of God, but not feel as though I am insignificant and that I don't matter. In fact, quite the opposite. Know that I am special and I am cherished and I am loved by God. You see, then I remember what Jesus wanted to do for me. Because He loved me so much, and He loves you that much too. He wanted to set me free. He wants to set us free and give us the most wonderful gift, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of fear of the Lord. That's why Jesus went to the cross. Because you are not insignificant. You are cherished and you are loved by God who created you. That is why Jesus endured the cross, so that He could give us the most amazing gifts, so that you and I could be victorious in an everlasting life. Have you repented of your sin and turned to God? Have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins? Have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit? Are you on the road to spiritual strength? Is that something you need in your life today? Because Jesus wants to lead you home today. Because that is where you belong. With the Spirit, His Spirit, dwelling within you. Living out your life for Him so that He is glorified. And then one day, when this life is over, He will welcome you home for an eternity with Him. But until then, we have the gift of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Brian's going to come and play for us, and we're going to sing "The Lord's My Shepherd," and then we're going to gather around the table to remember what Jesus did, the price that He paid, that's what He bought. He bought our salvation by enduring the cross and then gave us the gift of the Spirit. Let's stand and sing together. "The Lord's My Shepherd, I'll Not Want." So there is an invitation to you as we gather now around the Lord's table and we remember the price Jesus paid for our salvation. So I have some prayers here with responses for you, and your responses are in the dark time type. The kingdom of God is justice and peace. Let us then pursue the things that make for peace. Where lies abound, you call us to speak truth.
We will speak truth.
Where greed takes all, you call us to act justly. We will act justly. We set aside our wisdom, our will, our words. We empty our head, our hearts, and bring nothing in our hands. We yearn for the healing, the holding, the accepting, the forgiving, which Christ alone can offer. So may the peace of the Lord rest within us and remain with us today and always. Amen. The tradition which I hand on to you comes from the Lord himself. For on the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, gave God thanks, and then broke it, saying, "This is my body that is for you. Do this and remember me." For the bread we eat day by day, God be blessed forever. For the bread of the great day that feeds us for new life, God be blessed forever. Jesus, true and living bread, touch all our days and fit us for your new day's dawning. God be blessed forever. Nourish us with bread for the journey. Disciples in your way this day and always. Come, Holy Spirit, feed us with your love and renew us with your life. We eat to remember. And so can I have my servers this morning, if they would like to come up. We have the midweek fellowship ladies today. Thank you. Thank you both. So in the same way, Jesus took the cup after supper and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it and remember me. For the wine that makes hearts glad, God be blessed forever. For the wine that seals the covenant, God be blessed forever. For the wine that... Jesus, true and living vine, make hearts glad and lives safe. God be blessed forever. Enliven us with the wine of the kingdom this day and always. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love. Enliven us with the wine of the kingdom this day and always. Come, Holy Spirit, fill us with your love and renew us with your life. We drink to remember." Oh dear. And so we will now share bread together, and we eat as we receive the bread, and we take time in our own hearts to contemplate what Jesus has done for us. His life broken for us. So too, after that meal in the upper room, Jesus took a cup of wine and he blessed it and he shared it with his disciples. And that was the sign of the covenant that he was going to make with us. And so we too will share in that cup of wine. As we receive the cup, we retain the cup, and we will drink together as a sign of unity in Christ. Together in unity with Christ, we drink together as a sign of his covenant to us until he comes again. As often as you eat this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Loving Lord, we thank you that you have nourished us at this table. We pray for those who hunger and thirst. May they be filled, and may we with them feast at the table of your eternal kingdom. This we ask through Jesus Christ, who was and is to come, and who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. We'll stand and we'll sing our last hymn together. All to Jesus I surrender, make my Saviour whole thine. Let me feel the Holy Spirit, truly know that thou art mine. Let's stand and sing together. St. Patrick, Christ be with me, Christ within me, Christ behind me and Christ before me, Christ beside me and Christ to win me, Christ to comfort and restore me, Christ beneath me and Christ above me, Christ in quiet and Christ in danger, Christ in hearts of all that love me, Christ in mouth of friend and stranger. I bind unto myself the name, the strong name of the Trinity, by the invocation of the same, the three in one and one in three, of whom all nature hath creation eternal Father, Spirit, Word. Praise to the Lord of my salvation. Salvation is of Christ, the Lord. Amen. Have a wonderful, blessed week, folks.